transfer bonuses, heightened offers, and booking JetBlue Mint with Miles on today's Malinomics Squared podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Simon.
And I'm Robert Dwyer.
And this is the Malinomics Squared podcast, no annual fee edition.
If you're not subscribed to the full Malinomics Squared podcast, you're missing out on a deeper dive into topics like the following. A lot of good transfer bonuses came out this month. Let's go down the list here because I think I like some of these more than most people. What do you think? Are you excited about any of these?
Define excited and then maybe we can talk, Robert. I think you're more excited about some of these. Let's say that, yeah?
Yeah. Number one, Chase Ultimate Rewards to Marriott Bonvoy with a 70% kicker. Mm. That is a big number in terms of transfer bonuses, I think, no matter what we're talking about. I mean, there's some of these that they're so frequent and they tend to be in the 20 to 30% range. Around 40 to 50%, I start paying more attention. At 70%, I really pay attention. But a lot of people don't like this one because the value of a Marriott Bonvoy point isn't thought to be as valuable as, say, a Hyatt point. So it's a big bonus, but it's a not so valuable currency. But I'm more bullish on it than I know you are and a lot of other people, though. So let's discuss this one in particular.
Okay, all right. So talk me through it as a skeptic, Robert, right? Like one-to-one transfer Marriott, Ultimate Rewards to Marriott. Why shouldn't I just, let's say, book the hotel with cash? Cash out and book the hotel.
Yeah, right. Great example, right? The baseline there is you can cash out Chase Ultimate Rewards for a penny a piece, and that could just book the hotel straight away. But then a lot of people often have a Sapphire Preferred or a Sapphire Reserve, and then they could book that through the Chase portal, and provided that there was no inflation, they could get 1.25 uplift or 1.5 uplift. So it wouldn't make sense again to transfer to Marriott Bonvoy if, you know, it's all predicated on the
room
hotel
rate.
bookable. How much value are you getting per point? So that gets down into some gnarly math in a lot of cases. You know, fifth night free, and is taxes included in your calculus, and how much is Marriott charging cents per point for your room at the end of the day versus the best rate that you can get it for. And even best rate is a little bit squirrely, right? Like, is it the best rate that Marriott is showing, or are you going to go booking
super.
On some super.com, something super adventurous like super.com, or are you just looking at the best rate that you could get when booking direct, and does the penalty of booking through another thing, a cash rate, become meaningful if you don't get Marriott points for it, you don't get Marriott perks for it. So it becomes very complicated and very personal. But I have two use models that I actually really like with Marriott. And one is just a garden variety hotel that I tend to stay at a lot. And I get more than a penny a piece of value out of it. It doesn't have a lot of perks. Everybody that stays there gets free breakfast. But I don't know how Marriott is determining how many points to charge per night for a hotel. But I get more than a cent per point when I redeem for them lately. And when I look at more aspirational properties, I'd say mid-tier aspirational, I get more than a penny piece of value. And when I look at the high end, I get more than a penny piece of value, especially for fifth night stay. So I don't know when I haven't just seen cases where I'm not getting at least a penny a piece. So at 1.7, that's better than 1.5. And I don't even have a reserve. And I like to get some value out of my Chase points. And I guess the question is, I'm sacrificing points that I could use towards Hyatt or transfer towards United or something like that. We'll talk about United in a minute. But I can see using this. It only goes through August 15th. It's a short runway here. We're only a few days until it goes away. But I can see transferring a good number of points here because I like to have a healthier Marriott point balance. And I know I'm in the minority in that, especially as it compares to you. So give me the other side of it.
I think the other side of it would be someone like myself or someone maybe between us who doesn't know the Marriott program really well and is just captivated by the number. Wow, 70%, that's huge, I should do this. Or I read that other people are doing this, I should do this. And then you end up in a situation, it's almost a joke now. I mean, it is a joke now, Robert. How long have I carried Marriott points that I've never used? You know, it looked like maybe I was gonna use them maybe in Paris last month, but no. If you're not sure of the use case and you're hunting for a use of them, I think that's dangerous. But we're not even talking about another angle here, Robert, which is makes the math even crazier. You could theoretically now go Chase Ultimate Reward to Marriott to some really like tough to earn miles with airlines.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that might make sense. So now I'm back at this like maybe I could somehow top up and, you know, make some kind of a redemption happen. But again, I think I really, and that's going to be one of the themes of all these bonuses for me, I really need a use, and I don't know if I have one. And I think that's got to be the thing that ultimately dictates whether you go in on something like this. A historical use that's worked and you have confidence will work in the future, or a upcoming thing that you know you're going to do and this just makes it so much less expensive.
Yeah.
Should we move on?
Yeah, let's get in the next one because we're going to talk about it more later. American Express membership rewards to British Airways Avios at a 30%. We've seen higher bonuses there. I think we've seen 40 or 50% from Amex, and you can debate whether Chase is a easier currency to earn than Amex. And I hate British Airways Avios, but I actually took advantage of this one, as we'll talk about later in the show. That's a roundabout way. Talk about transfer to transfer here. What do you think about this one? Is it time to get some membership rewards off the table to a program that I know you have used and have had success with in the past? 30% Avios.
Yeah, I think that 30% is the minimum of where I would consider transferring to Avios, because there are so many quirks with this program. And I think as we come down the line here, we're just going to see more and more quirky programs, but the fringes can be fantastic in all of the airlines that we're talking about here. The fringes could really be fantastic. And I've got a bucket of them already, but I love using them for specific uses. And I have these repeated specific uses that this would represent a benefit to. I need to do something with my membership rewards and with the things that are changing for cash outs with Charles Schwab card and, you know, all of the things that maybe are moving in the earning side on Amex. I need to look forward, I think, and this could potentially be a release valve for some of my membership rewards. No one says you have to take all your points and transfer them to this, but yeah. How about this next one, Robert? Hawaiian. You've got a lot of Hawaiian miles, right?
Yeah, it would have been nice if 20%. I had a 20% kicker when I did that. I've got 500,000 miles orphaned there because I canceled the trip, and I'm waiting and seeing on that Alaska merger. You told me that maybe it would turn out to be a blessing in disguise, but I think that's been snagged up a little bit lately, or the Department of Justice is asking for a little bit more time to look at that, and that doesn't sound good. It would be nice if they just said, yeah, seems fine, go ahead and merge. But we'll wait and see on that one. But would 20% be enough of incentive for you to park some miles there? I know you go to Hawaii a lot.
I do. No, for me, I don't think so. Number one, Hawaiian Airlines at LAX is awful, right? We had that conversation. It's terrible. They drop you off at the worst possible location. And number two, I like flexibility and I like miles that have like varied uses. I think there are easier ways to book Hawaiian as well. And we'll probably talk, well, I don't know if we'll talk on this show or a different show about that. And I don't think necessarily the easiest way to book Hawaiian is with Hawaiian miles, especially when cash fares from Los Angeles are really inexpensive.
Yeah, well, can't even find a use case for that one. How about this one? Cap 1 to Qantas at 20%.
I don't even have a Capital One card. Oh. So no, Robert, I'm not in on that one. How about you? Talk about Qantas. Tell me your thoughts here.
Well, you know, I have something from the paid show that I'm going to pull into this free show and talk about. This free show is beautifully coming together here because I had a good experience booking with Qantas this week. Let me pull that up in the show. We'll talk about it later when we talk about booking another thing. But I don't think I'd do it for this 20%. But I'm telling you, British Airways is overrated as a way to book American Airlines short haul domestic flights. And I think Qantas is a better way to do that. I'll get into all the ways to do that in a minute.
All right. I like it, Robert. We'll basically a tease for later in the show. Let's keep moving. We've got a lot of news here at the top of the show. We've got this. Not all of it is good news. And this is an example of that. United Premium Cabin Awards. These got even more expensive. And Live and Let's Fly broke this news, I believe. We've talked about this. In fact, you used this to get back from Europe. I looked at this to get back from Europe. These used to be about 155,000 United miles for a flight from Europe back here to the United States. It was like an emergency, like a parachute, if we were looking for adding some time, or if we really had like a great redemption in one direction and couldn't find anything in the other. And the cancellation policy on those bookings made it so easy as a backup booking or an anchor booking, as we like to call it. But now that's gone up from 155, again, no notice, to 200,000 per person. And that's really tough when you compare it to some of these other airlines where they are. Compared to some of these other airlines, it might seem great. But let's talk about how it compares to like AA and Delta. And really like the idea of flying the carrier's metal with the carrier's miles, I think is one of those things that has come out of the last few years and become much more normal than it used to be. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's so complicated because every one of these miles, we're looking for, I think, some magic aspect to them. They unlock something that you couldn't do with bank points, something that you couldn't do with cash. And with AA, I still see that. We'll get into that again in a minute. You see some things where it's kind of not a super glamorous flight, but it's short notice, it's expensive, it's maybe not long haul, but having those AA miles enables you to fly between two airports that you couldn't justify paying cash for. And it's like 8,000 AA miles or something. And AA miles still have those great partners you can fly to Asia and other places with. So AA miles still have a magic characteristic. They're not buddied up with any of the banks. And, you know, they're buddied up with Citi, but you can't do transfers to them like you can with Delta and United. But we, okay, so we're lamenting here not being able to use United miles in an efficient manner to fly on their metal to Europe. Yeah, did that this summer to Italy. It worked out great. I think it was 135 or something like that. It wasn't an incredible redemption, but it got me there in business class and I could justify it in my mind. This goes up to 200,000 now. So it starts to really test my patience. And I have to have a lot of ultimate rewards, a lot of United miles to justify it. So it really kind of sullies that that redemption, that safety net redemption like you talk about. But let's compare it to Delta. Look at Delta. I mean, it's going to be 350 or some crazy number to fly on their metal internationally. So United is essentially half of that. 200,000 United miles is what, maybe worth $3,000? Is that a good redemption in some cases for international premium cabin? Maybe. You can find routes where it's a cash $7,000 ticket. So maybe you can justify it as being half off in your mind. Maybe they're worth a penny a piece. I don't know. It's not good, but it's not the worst thing in the world if you're flush with Chase Ultimate Reward. So I can still see cases where this is useful, but it's getting grim, right? It's the United Mile, I think, would probably be the worst currency out of the three, maybe. I don't know. Delta has gone to a very straightforward everyday value kind of model, and United is more like everyday bad value, I guess, where it feels like to me.
I appreciate that really like nice overview of the three major domestic airlines, and it's important to put this in context. This is not the only price for a United Europe business class flight. It's just the top end, the everyday price, the no discount price, or what we would have maybe called in the past saver level. This is not saver level. Not that there is that anymore. I think dynamic pricing allows those numbers to float. You know, you had 135. I've seen some days that are low. I've seen some days that are 200. But what I don't like about this, I really don't like about this was the parachute. This was the emergency exit. You know, you're holding out hope that something will come. And you're saying in your mind, well, you know, I can always book that last minute availability with United at 155 for the family. And you're not booking that proactively, maybe, you know, ahead of time, because you've got to transfer points in and you don't want to sit there and orphan, you know, 800,000 or more United miles. But now you've sat and waited, and let's say your flight's coming up and you really have to transfer in more points. This is the opposite of what we were just talking about, Robert, a transfer bonus. This is a transfer unbonus, where, you know, you're sitting there going like, my plan was to transfer in 155,000 ultimate rewards to United and book that last minute availability a few weeks before the flight, or even a few days before if nothing better came up. And now you've got to take 200,000 off the table. And I think it could jam someone up that doesn't have those miles or those points, because, you know, we all rationally in our head kind of hold an idea of how many miles we might need for the family or for our upcoming travel, or you have a demand schedule, which we like here on Milenomics. And this type of reverse transfer bonus really does hurt those people the most. Am I going to use it? Maybe, like, if it's the only possible way to get a trip going, maybe, but I would really look at every other option first, I think, Robert. And I think that AA doesn't get enough credit for flights to Europe. You know, this summer I was looking at options to get to Europe and ended up booking Air France with Air France miles, but there were a lot of options with American Airlines. They weren't as good. They maybe had a stop here in the United States somewhere and then a hop over. But, you know, the idea that you had to book on British Airways metal was so common, but AA has built that route map out to Europe and the options with partners exist. And so I think it will be interesting to see what American Airlines does. I don't think these other carriers are coming back down to earth. I fear that American is going to match them on some of this pricing and bump their pricing up.
Very interesting. You know, I think this probably hurts a person who lives near Newark. And most common way to fly is a route to Europe that they don't ever see saver level on. So this really stings in that situation. I'm more often using United miles to fly Lufthansa or something like that. Or in that case, yeah, I did fly through Newark, and as like you say, like has a safety release valve. But it really hurt if you were in a United hub. So condolences there, and we'll see what happens. They tend to put things like this on sale as soon as they mark them up. So there's always a way out, right? You know, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, and we'll look for that way out, and we're rational. And also, you know, these are slow-moving ships, right? Like, you don't create a new tier, raise pricing, change the award structure. Those things don't happen overnight. They happen in reaction to probably what was occurring a year ago or 6 months ago. And so it makes me think, what's going to happen in 6 months or a year from now? And will there be a reaction to that that's more immediate, like you're saying, like a sale or releasing more saver availability? I think they can move quicker down than they can move up.
Yeah, yeah, great summary.
How about this one? We got a credit card bonus here, JetBlue Plus, 80,000 points. There's a direct link here in the show notes. Why don't you talk us through this as a JetBlue flyer?
I book with JetBlue so much, and it's just great for the family. It's such a big carrier here in Boston, and 80,000 JetBlue points are straightforward, easy to use. You know, you click cancel, it's a very valuable sign-up bonus at 80,000 points. So it's a kind of, you know, the card I'll recommend to my mother-in-law. Like, you should get this. So it's very easy for you to click the button and book these things that I've been booking for you. So it does seem heightened off of 50K, which I think I found if I just Googled, but maybe I got an email and when I was logged into JetBlue, I could see it at that level. For me, the only thing that's bad about it is it's issued by Barclays, and that's not my favorite bank in the world. So, yeah, one I would recommend for somebody. I don't know what the churning restrictions are on this. I just haven't even been getting approved for anything with Barclays the past 7-8 years. So, yeah. We'll see. But it's one I would recommend.
Two in a box here, Robert. A second credit card offer.
Bonvoy, Amex. The Amex cards have been heightened, and it's been a while since they've been heightened. So there's two cards that Amex issues on behalf of, well, three with them. They have a business card as well, but there's the Bonvoy Bevy and the Bonvoy Brilliant, you know, kind of a medium and high annual fee at $250 and $650. The Bevy's up to $155,000. The Brilliant is up to $185,000 point welcome bonus. $5,000 or $6,000 of spend in 6 months and pretty high annual fees, I would say, compared to other banks. And they have some couponing that goes on with each of them. But these are available through referral. So that's nice. You can, refer somebody, say, from a Business Platinum for 30,000 membership rewards, have the person who's referring switch over and get a different card with Amex's nice, flexible referral policies. And these, I think, are pretty close to historic highs, but the annual fees are close to historic highs. They keep just bumping these up. So again, if you're skillful at navigating the coupon book and the Marriott program, I think these are ones to go for. I tried to refer my wife for this and she's never had a Bonvoy Brilliant card. I have the Ritz-Carlton card, so there's a strange overlap that you can't get that if you've had it before. I've had the Brilliant card before. For the most complicated matrix, I think, that exists in the game, the relationship between Chase, Amex, and Marriott, but she was denied. She got a pop-up saying that they, based on her history of having the card, so she seems to be in Amex's good graces in some ways, but they want to defend this card for some reason. She's not able to get the welcome bonus for it, but I would go for it. So it's the irony of the situation where, try to describe to somebody who would be eligible for this, they'll say that the $650 annual fee is too high, but in my case where I'm willing to endure it, they won't give it to me. So you can't win with this one.
Isn't that their, no, that's not their motto. You can't win with Marriott. No. We've got a main show topic here on the free show, and it's really booking flights and kind of how you've walked through your bookings in the last week. And I think it's interesting because not the specifics of it, but how generally it can apply to many more bookings. You want to talk us through these, Robert?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this first one, talking about how to, when you see American Airlines Partner Awards availability, how to book them. That has changed so much in the past 5 or 10 years. It used to be the darling of the whole thing, right? You get these bank points, you transfer them over to British Airways, and then you book the short-haul American Airlines domestic flight, or short-haul American Airlines flight anywhere in the world. It's such a great value. It's incredible. These people in Great Britain, they don't know what they're doing. It's just an incredible value. You can't last forever. British Airways has gotten so unvaluable in terms of how much they're charging for something. So let's talk about a tangible example where this became useful to me, and I think it'll become clear. So my son's going to school at Penn State, and I want to get from here in Boston to State College. And the only game in town for that, really, that's practical for me is on American Airlines with a connection to Philadelphia. And so I start with Google Flights, right? I see the price, and it's like $300. And I use a points path, right? And that shows me how many AA miles it requires for this. And I was seeing very low values, like 10 or 12,500. And I was like, oh, this might be a good chance to use AA miles. But I'm very, very careful about how I use my AA miles because I don't have a lot of good ways to generate them. And I want to save them for something that's extremely valuable. So I start debating, do I use the American Express 35% rebate in the Business Platinum? Oh, American is my airline of choice. So I'd have to play some games to use that. Oh, maybe I should use Bank of America Elite points, or I should use Wells Fargo points, or all this stuff. I said, wait. Let me take a look here. These levels are so low with AA. Maybe there's partner availability. And again, in the last maybe 2 to 3 years, there have been so many programs that can help you see what the award availability is across a lot of other obscure carriers like Points Yeah or Award Tool. There's so many of them that didn't exist 2 or 3 years ago. And I said, this is the perfect case. It's kind of rare that you see partner availability these days, but to see not just that there is partner availability, but how much each of these obscure one world carriers might charge for it, it was a really nice use of it. And I could see that, you know, Etihad had it. Qantas had it. British Airways has it. Everyone has it, right? And so I'm like, oh, this is great. Qantas, I didn't even think about it. I had Qantas miles left over from some bizarre redemption to Ireland that went south many years ago and had all these Qantas miles, like 100,000 of them. I think they wanted like 8,000 miles or something like that. And so, wow. So Award Tool highlighted that to me and allowed me to sift through that. I go there and I can see it. And I just want to talk about this how nice this was and refreshing compared to all the tricks that we had to do in the past with British Airways. First of all, British Airways now wants 24,000 Avios to fly one way in economy. Qantas just 8,000. So that's so much better.
Is that because of the connections and right?
I don't know how they map it out, right? Is it per segment with British Airways and it's gotten worse and Qantas just does it based on distance, not based on connections. So it's like two things coming together there, I think, right? But on top of that, Qantas is such a pleasure to work with in terms of partner award bookings. First of all, they allow you to enter a frequent flyer program other than Qantas, other than American Airlines at the time of booking, which is really useful because my wife has AA status. I have Alaska status. I can put that in there at the time of booking and see that convey, you know, over on American or on Alaska. And I don't have to go figure out what the record locator is for the booking. I can just see it pops up right there in each of those programs. Fantastic. They have a real clean interface, no funny business looking at what the flights are and everything. I then was able to take my record locator, log into AA, select my seats, no problem, and automatically conveyed it, said, hey, we recognize your American status, we recognize your Alaska status, and we'll put you on the upgrade list straight away. Like, so I'm always trying to figure out the record locator. You don't even need to know the record locator. You can discover that because it's going to be in your frequent flyer. But like, how nice is that? I do not see that with many other programs out there that they allow you to enter a different frequent flyer program at the time of booking an award, and Qantas has that. So it's cheaper, it's better, and I am not feeling any love lost about the British Airways situation going south because there's other ways to do it, and I think this one's way better.
Yeah, you've got here in the show notes the question, which is why does everyone cover British Airways so much when these other better options exist? And as you were kind of running through those reasons why Qantas is so refreshing, it's like, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe because there's a giant credit card bonus attached to British Airways and Chase, and there's a financial reason for that maybe to be discussed, and Qantas has nothing. And so I'm starting to think, like, what other airlines don't have a credit card? And maybe that represents a place to look more this year, you know, than what we've done in the past, which is, well, there's all these ways to earn British Airways, so we should probably go with British Airways. Like, you don't need all those ways. You just need one way if it's a really easy, quick, cheap program to work with.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like almost every foreign carrier that we think about not only has a bank point transfer program, but also a American-issued credit card. Is Qantas one that is that an exception that we're familiar with, but does not? There's no Qantas credit card in the United States at all?
I don't think so, Robert. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, even Turkish is threatening a credit card.
Right?
Yeah. Air France has a credit card.
Singapore, I don't think, does. JAL has one, but it's not very good. ANA has one. It's not very... There's some that have a half-hearted attempt here. Even Asia Miles has a pretty... Cathay Pacific has a pretty legitimate credit card. But it is the rare exception that you don't have one, right?
Talk us through this next one here, because again, you're using a kind of a not-as-discussed currency to make a booking. And I think this is actually really interesting, Robert, because you've searched for ways to make this booking happen in the past, and you're continuing to follow the breadcrumbs to make it happen here again.
Yeah, JetBlue Mint, booking that with foreign carriers. And it's changed so much over the years. I think we put a post up on this, you know, 3-4 years ago, and pretty much everything has changed. 100%. Yeah. Everything has changed. Their partners have changed. And JetBlue has a lot of partners, but the partners that you can use their miles to book JetBlue, especially JetBlue Mint, are limited. You know, they've got these different partnerships. And even one of those partnerships, like, say, Hawaiian, for example, the partner does a different thing in terms of how they price that award. Sometimes it's pinned to the cash price of things, which would probably make it not a great option. Sometimes it's based on miles. And I think the current two sweethearts for booking JetBlue Mint, if there is award availability, are Etihad and Qatar. And I ended up booking with Qatar because they have so much better cancellation terms. I think it's $25 to cancel online a partner award with Qatar, or even with a non-partner award. And Etihad has this weird scheme where it's like 25, 50, or 75% of the miles, depending on how far out you cancel. So I don't like those cancellation terms, especially in this case where I'm not 100% certain the trip is going to occur. But maybe to get started, the award availability needs to be there. The partner award availability by JetBlue needs to have been opened up for other carriers. I think it's the same across all the other carriers, but how do you check that? And that's the same as it's been for a long time. You use ITA Matrix is probably the best way, and we have information on how to search that. We can put some additional stuff here in the show notes. But you can go straight to Qatar's site, and you can search for it, and it comes right up. It's not, when that partnership first came out, Qatar to JetBlue availability, there's a lot of confusing posts about how that was, and I think they tidied that up in terms of simplicity, but they also jacked up the number of miles that it requires to book one way. So it's quite a few miles are required, and it only really makes sense to do it when the cash price of the ticket is quite high. I think it's 70-some thousand Qatar miles for JetBlue Mint if there is award availability. So we were just talking about that transfer bonus from American Express to British Airways Avios.
Right,
and then
right.
You can instantly transfer British Airways Avios over to Qatar Avios if you have all those links set up, right? So you have to have membership rewards, right? You have to have a link established to British Airways Avios. Got to get that account spun up. You have to have a Qatar Avios account spun up. And you have to have, you know, two-factor authentication working for all those things. You need to have a link that was created between British Airways and Qatar. It should all work in theory. Some people have bumped into issues. I know on my wife's side, I haven't been able to establish the link between British Airways and Qatar. But in theory, it should all work. And it mostly did all work for me. I found some flight that I wanted to. It was like $1,200 for the flight. So with this transfer bonus, I think it was like 55,000 membership rewards per person.
Wow. Which that's like right where you were last time you were booking this years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of worked out to be that same level. And if the cash price of the ticket was in the $500, $600, $700 range, I would have been better off booking it with membership rewards with a 35% rebate. But the flight was over $1,200 per person one way. So it was a reason for me to look into this. You know, great flight time it was the best option out of a dozen options. So I wanted to give it a try, and I wanted to do it. So I was surprised things actually went swimmingly. Membership rewards to British Airways, instant. British Airways to Qatar, instant. And so I got the points there, and I was able to do the booking pretty instantly. But then the complications set in.
Oh, no.
It wasn't that much to get over, but it's weird, right? You start dealing with international carriers, and it gets a little weird. So they say, put in your passport information. And, you know, if I was at work and was clicking the buttons, I probably wouldn't have
forget it.
Passport information sitting around. You know, what's the expiration date of your passport? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'll do this when I get home. So I had that, and I put it in, and it said, hey, you can, you know, just talking about Qantas a second ago, put in your known traveler number and the expiration date of your known traveler number. I was like, I don't know that. Like, what, I have to go look back at my global entry card? They haven't issued a new one of those since I've ever gotten it renewed. I have to log into the global entry site and see what the current expiration date is of every passenger. So I was like, forget the known traveler number, right? Okay, fine. I'll give you the passport information, but that's as far as I'm going. So I finally get the booking all done, and I'm really happy about it. And then I'm trying to figure out where the record locator is, because they don't allow you to put in JetBlue as the frequent flyer program, so it would convey over there. And then I start dealing with JetBlue's jankiness. And, you know, their IT is pretty, leaves something to be desired in this, right? So when I'm logged into my JetBlue account, of course, I don't even see this thing because it was booked with a partner. And when you're logged in, you can't go to manage and add another booking. You have to be logged out to add another booking and add information about it. Yeah, the way the web form works, it doesn't allow you to, it thinks that they've got it all figured out. There's no possible reason why you would ever need to add a managed booking that's not already in your profile. So I log out, I try to add it. It says my birthday's wrong. I was like, oh no, did I mix up the
date
and the month are flipped when you do it. I'm like, I'm certain I did this. I really thought long and hard about it. It was early in the morning when I did this. I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And so I had to, I direct messaged JetBlue on Twitter. They were able to add the, I wanted to get seat selection. I told them the seats I wanted. They had the known travel numbers. It's kind of a minor thing, but at the end of it, that's a lot of mashing, right? You're involving membership rewards, British Airways, Qatar, JetBlue online, JetBlue in the app, JetBlue, direct message on Twitter, and you better be getting a lot of value out of this at the end of the day. But I'm here to tell you it works, and in my case, it was a good value, but I don't think there's going to be a ton of cases where I use this, because it's rare that JetBlue opens up partner award availability when flights are very expensive. They tend to correlate, right? They make the cheap flights available for partner redemptions. But I think in this case, JetBlue had the knob turned up so high on the cash price that nobody booked it. I mean, there were flights early in the morning and very late at night that nobody really wanted, and they were dropping the price on those. This was a nice like 10 a.m. departure, Boston to San Francisco. And people want this flight, right? And they're very proud of keeping the price up at $1,200. And the cabin was nearly empty. And so they say, well, let's open up the award availability. So maybe I just caught it at the right time or something like that. But I don't know. I think it is worth annotating because all this business of finding out the record located and all that stuff is none of the information that is out there on this is contemporary, right? And you're actually trying to go off of old or different data,
Emirates,
right? You're trying to figure out like, do I need to go to Royal Jordanian to enter or something? None of the stuff works approaches that worked with other partnerships that you would think might be relevant here. So at the end of it, I am booked on it, and I think it's a decent value for my situation. So I'll write up a post describing that because I think it's good to contemporize, because like I said, everything we talked about this stuff, evergreen 3 years ago it was evergreen, now it's completely expired.
Well, hey, every leaf falls off the tree eventually, exactly. Robert, right? Yeah, yeah. I think something that you can take away from this, look, if you're not interested in flying JetBlue Mint or booking with Qatar, I think it is important to get those links set up. It doesn't take anything, right? You can link those things, but I'm imagining someone going like, oh man, this is great. I'm trying to fly on this tomorrow and I have a bunch of membership rewards. I've never used British Airways. Let me figure this all out for tomorrow's booking. And I think that would be a miserable experience. And so I think getting those links set up now, finding where it breaks along the way and fixing that when you're not under the pressure of having to make the booking happen is something that is important to do. So that's a good takeaway. The other thing I think of, Robert, is like, how else could we have gotten on this flight? Like, you're telling me about these other flights during the day that are reasonable. I start jumping to like, book those and same day change to this. Or, there's always another way. And I don't know enough about JetBlue, and I don't know enough about your situation with JetBlue if a same-day change is possible. And obviously, if the flight's coming up and, within a few days, you have a lot less opportunity to do things like wait for schedule changes and things like that. But, I mean, we've done a lot more to make this happen. I think that, it, like you said, the price of the flight and the cost in membership rewards pushed you in this direction, because had it been $200 or $300 cheaper, you probably would have been better just booking it with the 35% rebate. But we use the tool we need for the job at hand, and this sounds like the tool that was right for this job. And you're going to get on the flight, right? I mean, I hope, and you're not going to cancel it. But
well, that's it. All plays into it. All the angles that you're talking about there play into it. Same day change gets harder when you're dealing with a finite sized cabin, a small cabin, and multiple people. One person flying around, zipping around, just no problem. Try to bring three or four people and do the same day change. I find that impossible on Delta.
Is this all four of you?
It's three of us. So I mean, try to do a same day change to first class on Delta. I mean, that cabin has all been upgraded 100% on every flight, so it's just not feasible. You talk about cancelability. Yeah, sure, I can cancel for $25, but then I'll have a bunch of Qatar miles stranded, right?
Then what?
It's a single use kind of thing, probably, right? I'm not going to go fly Qatar.
We're taking this flight. That's almost a benefit, though, Robert, because sometimes we cancel flights because we can cancel flights.
Yeah,
right. And I've had that conversation with my spouse where they're like, "What's the what's the end result here if we don't take this flight?" And I'll be like, "Nothing. We just press a button and it's nothing."
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, press the button, cancel the flight. I don't want to go anymore.
Yeah. I think the thing that's really universal about this one example is how complicated it is to book with foreign carriers a domestic flight. And it's a hurdle to get to this level. It don't go endeavoring to get over that hurdle unless it's really necessary and you really see the value in it. It should not be like, I need to book JetBlue Mint. I need to figure out how to book it with partner miles. It should be like, is JetBlue Mint really the best way to get there? Is a bank point a better way to book it? And then if you convince yourself to do it, then get into all this stuff. And like you said, setting up the links ahead of time is just a good practice in general. I knew my wife's link between British Airways and Qatar was fouled up. So I didn't even go down the path of transferring into her British Airways Avios account, which I would have because I have some stranded miles over there because they're such rascals. I knew the link was busted. I'm not going to go down that path and stick in another 200,000 miles in or something like that. So it's all very complicated, and you need to have a reason to do a complicated thing. Sometimes it's easier to do a simple thing, and there's a lot of better ways to book this, I think, in probably 90% of the cases out there. Well, great stuff. You want to close it out?
All right.
Let's do it. Well, thanks for joining us this week. For a more in-depth discussion about points and miles, visit us at patreon.com/milenomics. There you'll get a special link to listen to additional content right in your mobile podcast app or on your computer, where we speak more freely about topics like these.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on the site.